files seasons and regulations, and this is a decision. Take it away.
All right. Good morning, members of the commission, director and deputy director. My name is Kyle Spragans. I'm the waterfowl section manager here at WDFW. And I'm here to provide the presentation regarding changes to WAC 220-413-090 and 220-416-060 related to migratory waterfowl seasons and regulations and field identification of game birds. So this is wrapping up sort of the long process that occurs with regards to migratory game bird seasons. This is a collaborative process between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the Pacific Flyway Council, which encompasses the 11 active western states, to work through the various federal frameworks that are provided under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and to fit those frameworks within our state discretion of how our users experience different species that migrate through our state. As a reminder, there's many species that migrate through our state, and so the ability to align these seasons in a way that provides the maximum opportunity and trying to minimize the complexity of those regulations is challenging, but it is not impossible. And we strive to do that every season. This process jumps between sort of the framework world of the federal side, the partnership with the Pacific Flyway Council members that I mentioned, and then jumping over to our state discretion during the non-framework changes. This meeting in April following adoption would actually then feed one last step into the federal process where the regulations that are selected by a state must be published in the Federal Register. So, related to duck season proposals, there was one updated change from the March meeting, which I had briefed you on, related to the signing of the John Dingell Jr. Conservation Management and Recreation Act that was signed on March 12th. That provided, among many things, one of the amendments to the Migratory Bird Treaty Act was the ability to provide for a military day similar to youth. So it includes veterans and active military personnel. However, it's worthy to remind folks that as a Pacific Flyway state, we maximize the federal framework mandate of 107 days, no more than 107 days towards any one species. So for us to do this, we have to adjust some of the days. And one of the options was to allow the overlapping of a youth and the veterans and active military day. So with that, to provide a broader opportunity for both youth and the veteran and active military personnel, we're taking the ability to split the youth hunt and the veteran and active military hunt to a day before and a day after the season. This is a fairly novel approach in the Pacific Flyway. There's only one state, other state that does it, but for us here in Washington, it actually provides a better alignment with several resources, several duck species, sea duck species, goose species, and particularly brant, that are not available in that early time frame. So this, that we had received a lot of public comment about the desire to move some youth hunt opportunity later. We can only use two days towards that type of activity. So the proposed would be in the western side of the state, a youth hunt on September 21st and February 1st, and on the east side, September 28th and February 1st. And the one veteran active military personnel day would be on that February 1st as well. This preserves the 105-day general season structure that currently exists without having sort of the full-blown public process. It was not advisable to shift the 105 days. That will be something that we look into in future iterations of this. But this was vetted through several members of the Waterfowl Advisory Group, as well as some of the local chapters of Washington Waterfowl Association, and was received positive as a first step of trying to see how to implement this day.
Just a moment, please. Commissioner Holzmiller?
Yeah, this was run by us this morning.
Yeah.
About the veterans and active military. To me, this is a liability that you could almost turn into an asset if you would put a little verbiage to it, because there again, it's a small percentage of the people actually serve in the military, and everybody of us that didn't, you know, feel that we owe them something. So, I mean, just put it out there. I mean, anybody that I know in the hunting community would say, yeah, I'll stay home one day to give them a shot. And a little bit of PR on this, I think you guys could look like they're doing the right thing and knights in shining armor for giving people this opportunity.
Totally agree with you. It's an excellent opportunity. It is new as of March 12th, and so we wanted to highlight the ability that this now exists, and in future iterations we will absolutely explore manipulating the 105 days. I agree with you. I think that will be received well, but I wanted that to be vetted.
Right, but I think it needs to be PR'd and make certain people know what the situation is.
Absolutely.
And what we're doing, and I can't imagine you're going to get any blowback on it whatsoever.
No, I appreciate that comment. Yeah, we will do our best.
Mr. Thorburn.
So, question, as I understand it, we're responding to a recently passed federal law. Are we, in combining it with the youth hunt, are we completely in compliance with
yes.
the law?
Yes. So what the amendment to the Migratory Bird Treaty Act allows is the option of a two-day towards youth and two-day towards veteran active military. You may overlap those two under the wording of that amendment, but you can sort of spread that around in any iteration that works. So in this case, yes, we're in line with the 2 days provided for youth hunting. We are doing the 1 day for the veterans and active military, overlapping it with that second youth day. That would be very difficult to do in the beginning of the season. There's less opportunity, less water availability. Towards the end of the season, it's just another hunt day that has many fewer individuals participating. And so I'll point out a couple of slight adjustments that we had to make to be sure that all species could be included on that. And as I said before, as of during that time period in February 1st, there are many more species in state than there are in that earlier September opportunity. So it is a unique opportunity, and certainly something that we wanted to try and put out there, given this ability now. So this keeps intact the 105 days, remembering that the 107 is what we're bound by. The duck limits don't change, with the exception of the one pintail bag limit, which was briefed in March. That's a national harvest strategy. Related to goose seasons, there were a couple of adjustments. One related to the snow goose adjustment in Goose Management Area 4, opening later on October 26th. To allow for a later white goose only season that would run February 22nd to March 4th. that was brief. One oversight during the March briefing was that in Goose Management Area 2, the September season had slid so that September 1st would have opened on a Sunday. That's not desirable, and it would have also overlapped the Labor Day weekend, also not desirable. So there was an adjustment made to align that with all of the other September goose seasons, which start September 7th. And then the slight adjustments I mentioned to allow for that February 1st to inherit the ability to harvest any of the waterfowl species that are normally allowed during the regular season. We've made those slight adjustments so that all three goose species would be available for harvest. Of course, Dusky Canada Goose would remain closed in Goose Management Area 2. I mentioned Brant. One of the unique aspects of that February 1st is because of its proximity to the regular season, that February 1st date would also inherit Brant as an acceptable species of harvest for both the youth and the veteran active military hunt day. So seasons remain similar to previous years otherwise. Clallam is a three-day hunt. Whatcom is a three-day hunt. Skagit is dependent upon the survey of the year, whether it's a zero, a three, or an eight-day available hunt. Pacific County, based on the update of the Pacific Flyway Management Plan, does provide the opportunity for one additional week, which is actually four hunt days for us. And that's with regards to Pacific County and Willapa Bay. That hunt would start January 4th. The other WAC that was mentioned was related to field identification of game birds. This is 220-413-090. There was one subtle adjustment to clarify that for those Canada and cackling geese, the fully feathered head must be retained, which is the overall correction to allow better consistency with federal regulation and our enforcement training to identify waterfowl species by wing or head, with the exception of that goose management area too. And then the other migratory game bird species that fall under this WAC are bandtail pigeon, mourning dove, coot, and snipe. There are no changes to the season dates or bag limits with any of those, so those maintain consistency from last year. And with that, that concludes those WACs.
Very good. Yeah. Questions or comments?
I just say the snipe on the previous page needs to learn how to read.
Yep.
All right, this is a decision. May I have a motion?
I can give you a motion. So I move to adopt WAC 220-416-060 and 220-413-090 as presented.
Commissioner Smith seconds.
Use your mic, Commissioner Smith.
I second.
Okay, thank you so much. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.